Welcome to The Slotted Lamb, a movies by minute watch of the John Landis written and directed 1981 horror classic, An American Werewolf in London. I'm your host, Troy, and I want to thank you for joining me on this journey.
All right, so we are starting off on this week with a Monday episode, because it is Monday, and this is going to be minute 83, which starts off with checking all the pockets and ends with leaving the hotel room. So one of the things that I had forgotten to point out in the previous actual minute of this podcast is that the fact that Jack standing outside of the theater is the final time in the movie that Greffin Dunn actually appears on screen, because just seconds before Jack appears to David and signals to him to join him inside the theater, and after that David dodges some traffic. And then that's where we pick up in this minute, as David starts to check his pockets for money to pay for the tickets. Now, the ticket lady is played by Christine Hargreaves, who was born in Salford Street, very much like Coronation Street, and trained at RADA, where she gained the honors diploma before touring as an understudy with the Old Vic. Before joining the original cast of Coronation Street in 1960, she had worked at the Granada on the drama series Skyport, a program in which many other Coronation Street actors have appeared. According to IMDb, she has 56 acting credits to her name, and she has, like most of the actual cast, the secondary cast, again, of An American Werewolf in London, she has quite a bit of television work to her list. Like I had mentioned, she was on Coronation Street for 122 episodes. So, but again, a lot of one-offs and all that. But one of the other interesting things about this is the few movie roles that she actually does are roles such as Pink Floyd's The Wall, where she plays Pink's mother. And she also has a role in the 1984 movie, 1984. While she was born on March 22nd, 1939, she tragically, unfortunately, passed away August 12th, 1984, at the age of 45. So, as mentioned, the ticket lady, who seems to be quite disinterested in the fact that she has to wait for payment of some sort. We then cut to inside of her, and on the inside of her booth, we can see a shelf behind her where some of the beverages that the theater has for purchase on display. We cut to the inside shot of the of an arched entrance into the actual theater. There is a set of steps leading down into this room, and there is a curtain held open on either side of the porthole. We hear both jazzy synth music playing and heavy breathing as David descends the stairs and enters the room. First thing he does is look up at the screen, where a woman seems to be undressing, and she is slightly out of focus because the camera is focused on David himself. David then turns to look into the seated area. Now, looking into that area from David's POV, we see that there are five people seated throughout the seats. However, one in particular is of interest. Seated in the very back is Jack, who raises his arms to get David's attention. When the shot returns to that of David, he, along with the camera in front of him, starts to head down the aisle in the center of the theater. However, a few steps into his stride, he walks, the camera itself actually stops, and David continues on and out of frame. And the focus is now on the screen, where a couple are getting very intimate on the bed. We then have David sitting in the seat next to Jack, where his true gruesome look is revealed. And that's Jack's true gruesome look. particularly no eyelids, hardly any flesh on his face, still a great head of hair, though. Well, David sits down. He doesn't stop looking at the screen. Jack, on the other hand, watches Dave until he sits, and he too then continues to watch the film. Without looking away from the screen, David greets Jack.
Hi, Jack.
And likewise, Jack does the same thing back.
Hi, David.
The beautifully constructed animatronic Jack moves very smoothly. Besides the lack of lips, Jack has perfect diction. Then for a moment, we get a shot of Missionary being performed in the SYNW screening. And this is where we're going to do our see you next Wednesday moment. Now, when it comes to the references in Landis's films of See You Next Wednesday, the next movie up in his lexicon is actually An American Werewolf in London. Now, I don't think I need to go into details of that one, so we'll move on to the next movie, which is 1983's Trading Places. A poster for See You Next Wednesday is glimpsed in Ophelia's, which is Jamie Lee Curtis's character's apartment. And on this poster, it's directed by William Wilder and stars Laurence Olivier, Merle Oberton, and David Niven, the real-life directors and stars of the 1939 version of Wuthering Heights. The poster features a quote in French of one of the 10 best movies in the world. At the end of Coming Soon in 1982, there is a series of clips from recent Universal Studios film trailers, with the final being a watercolor poster art for See You Next Wednesday, followed by Jamie Lee Curtis giggling at the inside joke. So, kind of interesting. Then in the Michael Jackson music thriller, video thriller, in 1983, the phrase is spoken by a deputy in the werewolf film that Michael and his girlfriend are watching. It is also visible on a poster on the outside of the cinema as they leave. And speaking of cinema, we then go back from the screening of the actual See You Next Wednesday porno film in the theater back to Jack, where a mechanical hand scratches at his nose, and luckily nothing falls off. So we are now going back to the actual porno film that is being played, and we are actually witnessing a POV of the actual screen. So we can actually see the movie theater around the actual screen. It's not like we actually cut to the movie. So what it is it's a long shot of the actual interior of the hotel room. There's a bed off to the right-hand side where the two characters are completely naked on one. The gentleman is on top of the lady, and the front door to the room actually opens, and a third character enters. And this is where we are introduced to our cast. Now, I'm going to introduce them not in the order that they actually have speaking lines, which is usually the way I usually do it. Don't mention them until they actually say something. But I'm just going to list them as they are listed in the IMDb credits. Well, actually, the actual movie credits is the order that they are put in. So the first to have a credit in the movie is Lindsay Drew, who plays Brenda Bristles. And Lindsay Drew hyphen Honey is a former British movie and television actress. She's a glamour model, an adult actress. She's a movie producer, director, and writer. She was born on May 11th, 1958 in Bristol's, UK, and moved to London in her early 20s to fulfill her dream of being a model. In the 1980s, she appeared in publications such as The Sun and Club International before becoming an editor of Penthouse. She is best remembered for her roles in the John Landis cult classic, like using that cult classic, An American Werewolf in London, 1981, as Brenda Bristles in the See You Next Wednesday. Other roles include Emmanuel in Soho in 1981, the horror movie Death Shock in 1981, the Ken Russell movies Aria, 1987, Shalom's Last Dance, 1988, and The Lair of the White Worm in 1988. She starred along Peter O'Toole, Omar Sharif, Christopher Lee in the drama fantasy The Rainbow Thief in 1990. She also appears in television dramas such as Dempsey and Makepeace in 1985 and Cat's Eyes in 1985, and had roles in the series The Bill in 1984 and EastEnders in 1985. And according to IMDb, has 29 acting credits to her role. According to IMDb, she has a few of the adult films that she was in, so I'm not really sure how much acting is involved with it, but she is a legitimate actor. You know what? I take that back, what I just said. I'm actually even going to leave it in here. I'm not going to edit out this stupid little comment I just said, because she is an actress. She does have legitimate acting roles that she has been in over her career, like I said, of 29 films. Again, a bunch of actual television stuff, and actually some stuff that is direct-to-video, according to IMDb. So, when it comes to the next person on our list, we have the character of Lance Boyle, who is the third character to enter into the sequence in the See You Next Wednesday movie, and it is Lucien Morgan playing this role. And as I said his name out loud for the first time, I hope it's pronounced Lucien. Looks like it says Lucien, so I'm going to call him Lucien. Okay, so he's an actor and producer known for Return to the Dawn in 2016, An American Werewolf in London in 1981, and Futures in 2015. According to IMDb, he has 157 acting credits. And once again, like a lot of the actual secondary characters in An American Werewolf in London, he has quite a bit of television roles, a few movies, and actually quite a bit of credits for shorts. But then again, with 157 credits, you're going to have quite a bit of everything. Now, our third character of Chris Bailey is actually portrayed by David Cooper, who actually in the credits is actually listed as Gypsy Dave Cooper. And he is known for his works in An American Werewolf in London in 1981, Heaven and Earth in 1983, and Sheena in 1984. And according to IMDb, has acting credits, which total 32. And once again, as previously stated, he also has a lot of television acting credits, as well as some film, including the 1980 movie The Elephant Man, where he is listed uncredited as Man in Crowd. Now, to finish off the actual movie credits of the actors in this particular porno, while more than likely you've seen this movie before, so you know that there is actually only three characters that appear on screen. However, according to IMDb, there is a fourth character included in this in the credits for the See You Next Wednesday cast. The character of Georgia Bailey, who is portrayed by Susan Spencer. And the only thing I can tell you about Miss Spencer is that she has one acting credit, which is An American Werewolf in London. Nothing else is written about here. Now, the only thing I can tell you about this is that if you were to see on the DVD of this particular movie, An American Werewolf in London, there is a behind-the-scenes outtake where it is John Landis is sitting in a director's chair in front of this facade where he is apparently giving an interview. Now, there is no audio, because apparently something is lost in the audio, but I guess it might actually be part of the gag. And I mentioned gag because as John Landis is giving this interview while sitting, like I said, in a director's chair, the facade falls very Buster Keaton style. It actually avoids hitting John Landis. We are exposed to the inside of the set of the See You Next Wednesday movie set, And we actually see the bed, and actually the bed is occupied by actually four people, three of which we actually have seen. It's the characters that we were introduced to, and then there is a secondary woman who I believe is our Miss Susan Spencer. As unfortunately, IMDb does not have a photo of her. I'm just taking a wild guess that the fourth person in the sequence of the four people having that sequence having done. And that's basically it for, as best as I can tell, for Susan Spencer being involved in the movie. So technically she did actually film something for the movie, so that's why she gets the credit. So enough about the actual people portraying the characters in the See You Next Wednesday sequence. How about we actually talk about the actual porno See You Next Wednesday? So the actual sequence, like I said, starts off with basically Lance coming into the room where Brenda Bristles and Chris Bailey are completely naked, lying down on the bed. The door slams and they instantly stop in their embrace and sit completely up, which is kind of interesting because in the previous shot, actually, Chris was on top of Brenda, and as the door slams, we get the shot of the two of them sitting upright, and apparently Chris is suddenly on the bottom. I guess it's a little easier for her to get off of him than him to get off of her. So anyways, as we actually do that, we cut back to a shot of Lance Boyle basically posing a question.
What are you doing here? You promised never to do this kind of thing again.
And then we have Lance responding.
I never promised you any such thing.
And then we actually have Lance Boyle basically pointing out that he wasn't referring to him.
Not you, you twitter!
And then Brenda replies with not knowing what he's talking about.
I've never seen you before in my life.
He then apologizes.
Oh, sorry.
And then turns around and head towards the doorway of the actual hotel room. And that's where we end this minute. Over on the commentary track, David Naughton points out that once the character of David enters the actual theater, that the very first day of filming for the film, as he speaks, it sounds like he's actually queuing up Griffin Dunn, who then steps up and says, the porno. And that they shot it at Twickenham and on a very high-quality set. He also mentions that the couple on screen actually become a couple. David laughs at the idea. Then Griffin continues about joking how this is something that he heard. David continues that Griffin gets plenty of questions about the effect of this, which is basically in the movie, it's where it's the Jack 3.0 version. And to his dismay, Griffin mentions that it's not him, but that he is controlling it. Not the whole thing, as he mentions not the hand, and that he is behind the thing. But both stop once the third character in the porno enters the room. And just as he's about to leave, Griffin says it's him and the other girl, referring to the couple that got together. According to the script, scene 81, exterior, cinema day, David reaches into his pocket. All he has is traveler's check. David asks if they are, that they take them. The ticket the lady refuses. David continues on by signing a $100 check and hands it over. David tells her to keep the change. She thanks him and gives him a ticket, and David goes in. Now, there's a big switch from the original idea, because scene 82, interior cinema day, a film to be determined. plays on the screen. The small theater is mostly empty, with a few snoring bums and wide-eyed children. They are scattered about. Jack sits in the last row in the shadows. He waves to David. David goes and sits next to him. And like the final film, they greet each other. Now, obviously, the whole entire sequence where they were in the movie, they go to the scene in the porno. We actually, like I said, to be determined, so we don't actually have something to go to right now. When it comes to the radio drama, after David has actually asked how much it actually is, like I referred to in the previous minute, the lady points out that it's a double bill of Steam Bath Susie and of Plumbing Trouble, which I believe is the first movie. But anyways, however, David has both traveler's checks and a visa on him, so when he goes to pay for the traveler's checks, the lady refuses it, like in the script. But David then signs over decides to pay with the visa. David does, even though she mentions that it's usually the Japanese tourists that pay with plastic. And after the signing the visa slip, he jokingly says to keep the change. While she doesn't seem to be amused by this, she gives David his ticket. We then go into the actual theater, and we hear the sound of, like in the movie, we hear jazzy porno music going on. David, we can also hear snoring in the background, and then David actually calls out for Jack. We hear someone off in the distance tell him to be quiet. Then we hear Jack in the another section of the background basically signal for him and tells him to come and sit down, which he actually does. And then we cut to a sequence where we are actually in the porno, and this plumber and the woman that he's trying to fix the plumbing with sequence goes on. And when it refers to the sequence compared to the movie, this is where it ends at this moment.
That brings us to the end of another minute of An American World from London, and the end of this episode of Welcome to the Slaughtered Lamb. So be sure to subscribe to this podcast on either Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favorite podcast catchers. And if you'd be so kind as to share, rate, and review us, that would be really cool too. If you feel like following this podcast on the social medias, you can follow Planet Geek Pod, all one word, on Instagram and Twitter. And if you would like to send us a message via email, send it to planetgeekpod@gmail.com. So until next time, remember, keep off the moors, stick to the roads, best of luck.
Yeah, there you go. And now let's go to now I need the radio drama. Now I need the radio drama. So as we stop this, we go over to here. We bring up this little thing because I did not prepare it properly. We are going to say right here. Here we go. L'un des milliers, 10 milliers films de mort. And one of the top, you know what? Okay. That's not the button that I wanted to push. Let's see what's going on right here. We are gonna go to the cast of the movie, which I lost the place, and here it is. And Futures in 20... How come I can't come up with names when a movie is in the 21st century? I can't seem to say. I'm stuck. Everyone is like 19-something, 1980, 19-whatever. I don't know where I finished off that last bit. okay, let's just pick this up. We'll just... Hopefully this works.